Matthew chapter 9, we're going to read verse 36 through 38 together, and we'll turn one more place and read one more verse. Notice what it says, Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 through 38. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 through 38. All together. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. Now turn, if you would, to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and we'll read verse 35. John chapter 4 and verse 35. Let's all read this verse together. Verse 35 of John chapter 4. All together, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Help us, dear God, to be obedient to the truth that I'm about to proclaim. I pray, Father, you move us and you motivate us and help us, dear God, to have the heart of Jesus Christ. I ask this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, it doesn't say the harvest is scarce. It says it is plentiful. Now, the problem is not the harvest. The problem is the laborers are few. Now, I want to talk to you about the great need of missions and supporting missions financially. I know we just had our Mission Sunday the month of December, but I want to kind of refresh some things, and I want us to all catch this burden about worldwide missions. I believe we all understand that there's a great need, yet we perhaps don't realize its magnitude or its urgency. Most of us by nature are procrastinators. We live with good intentions, but we always seem to put off what we should be doing for some better time. Yet for some folks, if we don't reach them now, there will be no tomorrow. They will be ushered out by the cold hand of death into a literal burning hell. So we need to give so others can go. Or go ourselves and do the work, and all of us ought to reach others for Christ right here in our own Jerusalem. I want you to take a look at what Jesus said and see the things the way our Lord sees them. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now Jesus saw the multitudes. Jesus had a concern for them. His great heart of love yearned for the multitudes of people in this world that have no shepherd. They have no Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And they have nobody who seems to care for their souls. No one to share the gospel with them. They are faint. They are scattered. They have no idea where to turn to for help. They are helpless, hopeless. And someone needs to go to them before it is too late. In John chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus says the fields are white unto harvest. And if it isn't gathered in quickly, the grain is going to perish. Now think about the multitudes, not only here, but abroad. And there's nobody to tell them about Jesus. No one is involved in the work of reconciling sinful men to a holy God. No one is willing to sow the seed of God's word and bring in the sheaves. The need is great. Savior's notice, and it moved him with compassion. when Jesus talks about the harvest, he's not just letting us know about the vast host of lost humanity, but he's speaking about a reapable harvest, about those who could be won to Christ if there were simply laborers to get the job done. The problem is, there are few too willing to work in the fields. Many are not willing even to tell their own family the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't go into our hometown on Saturdays as we go door to door. We got other things to do. We use our excuses and we don't spread the good news like we should. You may think people aren't just interested. But I'll take the words of Jesus when he said the harvest truly is plenteous. If one does nothing to reach their own Jerusalem, why would they demonstrate any compassion for those beyond the borders of the field that they are to labor in? Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 9:38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. Now God wants us to pray. He wants his people to be moved and get into the fields and bring in that harvest. It's urgent. Now we are not to twist their arms. We are not to compel laborers to go. We are told to pray for laborers. You know, we got this thing backwards. We pray for sinners to come in and compel laborers to go out. Yet are not we told to compel sinners to come to Christ and pray for laborers to go and get them? The problem missions has is a lack of prayer for laborers. Now that results in too few laborers, and then there's a lack of funds to get the job done. The problem is not with the lost world. The problem lies with us. And in Romans 10:14-15, it exhorts us in this matter of missions. And it says this, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Ask yourself, do I have beautiful feet? Are you using your feet to carry the gospel message? Do you have beautiful feet? You say, well, you know what? Mine are kind of gnarly. You know, mine look like Fred Flintstone. Mine got hair on the knuckles. They don't look all that good. No, they'll look plenty good if you take those feet and use them to further the gospel of Christ. Now, a missionary of bygone days to South Africa said this, I have seen the morning sun, the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever been. They don't have a Bible. They never heard the gospel. They are steeped in some type of pagan religion. They are perishing by the thousands every day. Where are those with beautiful feet? Where are those who are willing them to bring glad tidings here and over yonder to those who should be reaped? Where are they? It is said that America has 4% of the world's population with 91% of preachers. This means 96% of the world's population has only 9% of the preachers trying to reach them. Somebody has to go, and others need to send them. They are lost. They are condemned already. They need the Savior who is the way, the truth, and the life. Do you understand how great the need is? Do you understand how urgent this matter is? Yes, the harvest truly is plenteous. And if we are not called to go ourselves, we are to go forth with the gospel where we are and use our finances to get others to regions beyond. I've been told, I don't know how accurate this is, but there's nearly 200 people a minute dying worldwide. That would mean that there's 12,000 an hour and over a quarter million every day. Yet we need to ask ourselves, what are we doing about it? We, us, me, my. What are we doing about it? Are we simply sitting comfortably in our church pews, enjoying the services, enjoying the fellowship of our brothers and sisters in Christ? Are we going to be moved by compassion and do something about it? I'm not talking about something you ought to think about doing in the future. It's a pressing matter now. And when you factor in the return of our Lord is closer now than it's ever been, whatever we are going to do, we need to do quickly. Listen, Jesus sacrificed himself for the sin of the world, not just us. We ought to be willing to sacrifice our time to go soul winning and make it a priority in our life. We are to sacrifice our finances to send those who are willing to sacrifice their homeland, leave their family behind, and move to a foreign land and tell others about Jesus. Some are only willing to give a few bucks. Ask yourself, is that really going to make an impact? Now, I'm not putting it down, but good night. We spend more on dog food, more on snacks, more on sodas. You spend more at Starbucks with one coffee than you give to missions. Pray tell me, where's your priorities? We are to reach the lost, whose souls are worth more than the entire world. And by the way, we will be held accountable for our stewardship. And if someone knows of a more worthwhile endeavor to invest their money in, please let me know. In case you haven't noticed, I'm a mission-minded pastor. I believe the church should be winning souls here and financing others to reach souls abroad. I am the product of a missionary who went to England by the name of Rick Stuckey. I never heard, to my recollection, a clear presentation of the gospel here in America. I was brought up in an idolatrous false religion that held to doctrines of devils. No man seemed to care for my soul. I even lived in what is called the Bible Belt and perhaps the Bible Buckle, and yet not once did anyone attempt to tell me of Jesus. Finally, while in the Air Force, I got orders to go to England. And while there, a man who heeded the call to go to England, one who was funded by the giving of God's people, came to my house, opened up the Holy Scriptures, took me through the Romans Road, and on that night of August 19th, 1983, I was born again. I was redeemed by the blood. I was saved from hell, and I became a child of God. While many who gave to make that happen have never heard of me, I can never thank them enough for being a part of this sinner's salvation. So yes, missions do work. And we who know the Lord are to be involved in missions in one way or another. I, for the life of me, can't understand how one can read the words of Jesus, look at the New Testament epistles, see the mission statement of the truth and the Great Commission, and not do anything when it comes to the furtherance of the gospel. Can't figure it out. Now, there's a tremendous need, is there not? It requires a lot of help. And the need for missions will not take care of itself, for God has chosen us as his people to be involved in the ministry of reconciliation. We at times wonder why this world is in such a mess. Why is it turned upside down? Well, how about getting more involved in missions than ever before and send forth those who'll turn this world right side up? Because they show the others of Jesus the way of salvation and then go about doing it locally ourselves. While the Lord is not willing that any should perish, his people certainly don't think that way. It's not that the lost can't be saved. It's not that the lost won't be saved. It's that the lost have never heard the gospel and therefore cannot believe it. And it's all due to us not going or helping to send others to go. You know, I'll never forget, we had a first missions conference at Elkinberry Independent Baptist Church. And you know, Brother Stuckey said, well, are you going to come? I said, well, I'll come Monday night and that's it. You know, I don't want to spend a whole week there at church. You know, I went Monday night. That's what I said. He still remembers that. He tells me about it. He holds it against me to this day. And I went Monday night. And I thought, man, that's good. Went Tuesday night. And I went the whole mission conference. And I'll never forget, these missionaries would come and lay their burden. And I would say, Lord, I'll go. I'll go wherever you send me. If it's to Africa, I'll go there. Want me to go to Ireland? I'll go there. You want me to go to Israel? I'll go there. You want me to go to Mongolia? I'll go there. Now, I don't know if Connie would go with me, but I was willing to go. But my heart was broken for people all over the world. And I thought, man, and God's never called me to the mission field. But you know what? I was willing to go. And even though I haven't gone, I'm willing to support those who do. You know, there's a voice from heaven that tells us to go. Mark 16:15 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Acts 1:8, we are told, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know what that word ye in that verse means? Well, I'll tell you, it's a Greek word. And that Greek word means you. You are to win your Jerusalem, your family members, those closest to you. Then go forth with the gospel in your neighborhood, in your city, and go to the uttermost with the message of salvation by giving so others can do it. I am alarmed as I hear pastors and other believers telling me that soul winning no longer works. It worked for me. And certainly others could testify that they were brought to the Lord by someone's personal witness. Next time I hear those fools say such nonsense, I'm going to tell them, if that's the case, don't waste your breath giving the gospel to your lost family members and friends. Because it just don't work according to you. You say, but preacher, knocking on someone's door may drive them away. Drive them where? To hell? They're already going there. I'm there to warn them. I'm there to win them. There are so many who call themselves Baptists, but they practice a cursed doctrine of Calvinism and hold to the damnable belief, if one is to get saved, they don't need someone else to tell them. There is a voice from hell that urges us to go. And in Luke chapter 16, verse 27 through 28, Jesus speaks about this rich man, and by the way, it is a true story, who was tormented in the flames. And this is what he said. He said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, speaking of Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You see, we got a voice from above, do we not? We also got a voice from below. And those people in hell are praying for somebody to go tell their loved ones that Jesus saves. The prayer of hell, the plea of hell, the cry of hell is for somebody to witness to families and friends of those who are already there, because they don't want them to end up in the place of the damned. They don't want their loved ones suffering the same eternal torment that they are going through. Boy, if we could just open up hell for a second and hear their plea, it would change our life. The cry from beneath, those who are writhing in unimaginable pain, they know of hell's awful reality. They're asking for someone to go, or at least give them the privilege of a warning. They want somebody to care, someone to see the urgency, someone to go and someone to give. There's a voice from heaven. There's a voice from hell. Let's open our ears to the voices of earth and people urging us to come. They say this according to Acts 16:9. Come over and help us. Come over and help us. I'm telling you that the lost near and far, they're looking for someone to care. Someone that is moved by compassion. Someone to share the gospel with them. There is a world of lost sinners going to hell. And that awful place prepared for the devil and his angels is constantly enlarging itself. You know, one of the things I pray for almost every day is that these silly wars across our globe would cease. I think of all the carnage in Ukraine and Russia and Israel and in the surrounding areas. And I want that to stop. And the reason I want it to stop is because hell is enlarging itself. Millions are going there without a Savior, and nobody's doing anything about it. Not all of them are turned off to Christianity. Not all of them are closed-minded to the gospel. Some are longing and wanting the free, finished, full salvation they could have in Jesus Christ. They need to have the opportunity to hear the truth. The cry is both near and far. So let's get the gospel to wherever they are. I know you can't force anyone to go to heaven, but should we not be relentless in our efforts to get the gospel out? Should we not hand out tracts? Can we not show up for a couple hours to go soul winning? Should we not speak to those in our own family about Jesus? Can we not give so others can go? You know, when I got saved, it was natural for me to tell others what happened to me. I got up the next morning, my neighbor across the street said, "Hey, John, how's it going?" I said, "It's going great. I got saved last night." I went to work, and I started telling everybody what happened to me. You see, I think the gospel's simply too good to keep to myself. And I'm telling everyone at the fire department I received Jesus as my Savior. And you know what happened? I was taken aback by how many believers there were that I worked with that came out of the closet, came out of hiding, and let me know that they had been redeemed. Being as I was a new believer, and they were not too spiritual, their lack of testimony and witness didn't set well with me. I had worked with these guys for nearly 2 years, and not a single one cared enough about my soul to tell me about Jesus. They were willing to let me go to hell. Perhaps they thought I just wasn't worth their time. If your phone is ringing, pick up the phone, Maynard. I thought some of them were my friends. But I certainly looked upon them much differently afterwards. I even had a family member come over to England. And at the dinner table, they were talking about how thrilled they were that Connie and I were saved. I couldn't believe my ears. I put my fork down, looked them square in the eye, and I asked them, how long you been saved? They told me they got saved when they were young. I said, why? That's wonderful. I said, you know what? You tell us you love us, and you've known the gospel for years, but you were willing to let the two of us go to hell. You wouldn't even give a word of warning. And I picked up my fork, kept eating, and it was silent as they had been when not telling me the gospel. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. It's not somebody else's responsibility. It's ours. It does not stop with my family. It does not stop with door-to-door soul winning. Our commission is to the uttermost parts of the earth. I know we are to be for household salvation. That we are to go door-to-door testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. But we are also to take the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth. God has given that task to you and to me, not someone else. We as individual believers have a responsibility to every creature, to all the world. This gives us two options. We can surrender to the call of God to go to be a missionary and carry the gospel to regions beyond, or we can win souls where we are and give generously to missions so others can go. We have a mission, just as much as those missionaries we support on a monthly basis. We all need to do our part. We all need to go in our area and give so others can go to regions beyond. The need is great. Harvest is plentiful. The problem is the laborers are few. We need to make this a matter of prayer. We need to labor in the field where God has placed us. And we need to assist financially who will labor in foreign fields. We can't afford to turn a deaf ear to those who call out, come over and help us. They want and need the gospel. Are we going to ignore those pleading in hell before it is too late? And are we going to pretend to be good, godly, obedient, surrendered Christians when we make no effort to win the lost? The hour is quickly coming when the opportunity to fulfill our mission will be over. Until then, souls are perishing. The need keeps on growing. And we need to do our part while we can. Jesus was willing to leave heaven, take upon himself human flesh, give his life on the cruel tree of Calvary to make salvation possible for every man. All of us ought to respond to the call to go. All of us need to do our part. I remember going to a conference over in New Mexico. And at that conference, I remember meeting a man. He pastored a church. And that church supported Rick Stuckey. And I heard of him before. I never met him. And I introduced myself. I said, "You don't know who I am, but you know somebody who won me." And that man was Rick Stuckey. I said, "I'm the product of your missions program." He was a missionary and he was sent out and you guys supported him. And I just want to let you know I am grateful for your mission support of that man who led me to Christ. I said, "I'm now a pastor in Colorado Springs." And you should have saw that guy jumping up and down. He was excited. He had me write down my name and some things about what God has called me to do. He says, "I'm going to tell my people." He says, "It's amazing. We usually don't ever meet a product of our missionaries." I said, "Well, you have today, and I appreciate what you've done." You see, you may not be called to go to the uttermost part of the earth, but we're all commanded to do our part in reaching our Jerusalem. Are we not all supposed to give so others can go? We have a responsibility to get the gospel message out ourselves and through financially assisting others who will go. So the question I'm asking is, will you do your part? Maybe you're not doing enough and you know you can do more. What's holding you back? Missions is near and dear to the heart of God. It ought to be near to the heart of everyone here. So let's ask God. See what he would have us do in this great cause, in our own area, and in the uttermost part of the earth. You know, it's worth our time, and it's worth our money. Souls are at stake. They need to be reached. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.